Welcome back to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. Thanks again for joining me. If you're new to this channel, I appreciate that you came to visit. I hope you stay with us. And if you've been listening, thank you so much for returning and for sharing. I really do appreciate all of that. In last week's episode, we talked about what is the shadow ego and attaching to outcome. And we're going to continue that conversation today by looking at what is a healthy ego? How do we know when we are in the healthy version of our ego? And how does that connect to our soul's desire and fulfilling our destiny here on earth? When we're in a healthier ego state, we are more empathic. We are using empathy to understand other people's perspectives. That means we're listening. And this really leads to fostering positive and meaningful relationships, which in my belief is one of the reasons we're on earth. A positive, healthy relationship with ourselves and others. A healthy ego expresses confidence and positivity, even when we're not feeling it. Because sometimes we do want to exude that. Now, before I got on this call, this has been, a weird, challenging day for me. And I said to Jacob, I think I could cry, but I don't even know why. It's just been one of those days. But I'm not going to do that. That's not why you guys are here. And I am confident enough and my ego is healthy enough that I don't need to do that. But I might feel it. So we want to be able to recognize, wait, where am I? And is this the right time? That's having a healthy ego. Can I allow myself to be confident enough in my abilities, to like myself enough to stay the course of where I am in that moment? Whatever that moment is. And that comes down to resiliency, which is part of having a healthy ego. The ability to handle challenges. It's using those healthy coping mechanisms when we're feeling low, when we're feeling stressed out. I know a woman who goes overboard with her exaggeration when there is stressful. It's like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. And it's not a healthy coping mechanism. It's, can we allow ourselves during times of stress to say, wait a minute, what would be a healthy response? How can I allow myself to feel strong in this moment so I can respond in a really great way? Optimism, that's another sign of a healthy ego. You know, optimism is when I wake up and I'm not feeling that great for whatever reason, my day is not exactly what I'd like it to be. I start with a gratitude phrase, always. I find ways to feel grateful. And that helps me go back to optimism, go back to choice, taking things in stride. Gratitude leads to optimism. And of course, like I said earlier, being self-aware, being able to understand who we are and why we do what we do, and validate why we do what we do. Doesn't mean we want to keep doing it. Maybe it's time to change that. But we want to understand and be kind to ourselves. I have loved learning astrology because that helps me understand why I do the things that I do. Another way is the Enneagram or archetypes. There are so many tools out there. You get to become more self-aware by allowing yourself to understand, why do I do this? And then we don't slam ourselves. We can, you know, I'm a Cancer moon, so I can feel big, and it allows me to understand why I can sometimes be really emotional and not make it wrong, but work with it, right? Have the self-respect and the self-awareness so I can understand that perspective, but I have enough resiliency that I don't always have to lead that way. And emotional intelligence. I have loved learning more emotional intelligence over the years. That's that ability to regulate our emotions. That's that ability to be understanding of other people, to be in compassion, but not codependency, to have that awareness of why my emotions are as they are, and why are other people's emotions ruling the roost. It helps us deal with people in a healthier way. It doesn't become about me. I don't have to take everything personally. Another way we are in healthy ego is when we're allowing ourselves to take those risks, to learn new things, to grow our confidence, to grow our self-love, to know that, yep, if I'm playing the piano and I make a mistake, it's okay. Or if I'm doing this podcast and I blunder, it's okay. Whatever we're doing, we will make mistakes. I've done it a million times. I'll do it a million times going forward. In relationships, especially because we have an emotional attachment, whether it's a friend or a lover or a child, we make mistakes. And that's okay. And then we want to remind ourselves, we're just learning. So be kind to ourselves and then be open to learning it a different way. And having self-respect, that's part of having a healthy ego. Self-respect, and then also how we respect others. Do we respect others as much as we respect ourselves? Do we respect ourselves as much as we respect others? Treating ourselves and others as humans, as equals. That's a beautiful way when we are in the light of our ego. And of course, that's easier on our body. When we are in a healthier ego state, our body feels so much less stress. Our body feels more ease and flow, less tension, less pain. We're treating ourselves better when we're in a healthy ego state. We're in that flow energy, not that critical, rigid attachment to outcome. Doesn't mean we still don't have a plan and a goal, but we're recognizing life sometimes takes a turn in a different way. And we are resilient enough to deal with it. And we can grow any of that. We can always develop a healthier ego. We can learn to have more energy. We can learn to align differently, go after our dreams, connect with our destiny. In addition to being of service to others, we can also recognize that other people have needs and stop thinking of just me, 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 my time, my day, my goals, my bottom line. We can remember by putting an image in our head of here I am, I'm feeling all my stress, all the things I need to do, but what about my neighbor? What about my friend or my child? What about my husband? What are they going through? It's important to acknowledge other people's lives. That helps us put our ego in balance. It's also important to recognize when we feel insecure. Recognize that pattern. You know, if we spend time trying to defend ourselves when someone disagrees with us and we become rigid and stiff in our body, that is so different than when we choose to hear someone fully when they disagree with us. And sometimes our pattern is to not want to receive criticism or disagreement, so our body goes rigid. Well, we get to pause and recognize that, take a breath, because the body's telling us, I'm feeling tight now, I'm feeling jaw tight, my back is hurting, my neck is hurting, my stomach is feeling sick. I need to relax so I can open my ego to a healthier version and hear what someone is saying, because otherwise I'm rigidly attached to me being right. That's attaching to outcome. So choose to hear someone fully, even when they disagree with us. You know, when we do that, we might actually learn something new, or we start to bridge a gap between the differences. And gosh, our world really needs to bridge more gaps. Also important for us to understand why we are doing or thinking what we do. For instance, is this something I need for me? Or is this really about impressing others? You know, like when we buy a new car, do we buy the car because that's what I want? Or do we buy a car because I'm going to look cool? Whatever it is, just recognize it. So are you dressing for you? Or are you dressing as a pleaser? Are you making decisions in your dating world for you or as a pleaser? Are you getting the job because of the money or because it's something that you really want to do? It could be both. Just to understand why we are doing this and being kind to ourselves about it. And it's also important to realize that we are always going to be growing, hopefully. Self-exploration doesn't have an end game. It doesn't have an end point, and it also doesn't have to be arduous. If we continue to evolve, our growth really never stops. And it can be fun and light, and sometimes it can be painful. But it is always always moving, always shifting. Because remember, we are a huge soul with this little body, which means if we're connected to our destiny and that huge soul, we're always evolving and growing. So our skin has to shift symbolically. It's also an important piece when you're in the healthy state of your ego is to understand when I've made a mistake, admit the mistake, and if I need to apologize, apologize. It can be hard to apologize. Why? Because we don't want to be wrong. Now we're in shadow ego. It's important to know when we've made a mistake and how do we rectify that. And on the flip side, some people apologize all the time, even when they don't need to. Check on that, because that can be the other side of the shadow ego. Apologize when we really did make a mistake and we are wanting to rectify it. Another way we can identify when we are living with a healthy ego is allowing ourselves to ask for help. You know, there are many things we can tackle on our own and some things we can't. And that's why we have our tribe. That's why we have our friends and our family. And if you're in the first chakra and you're standing in the middle of your circle, who do you let help you? Let people help you. It's humbling, but it's necessary. And again, we don't need to have help with everything, right? It's the balance. That's the balance of our ego. Also looking at how we do anger and why. Sometimes when we are really angry, we can throw it everywhere and not recognize, wow, that anger is causing other people discomfort or making people feel intimidated. I talked about this last week. We want to be careful. How are we responding to our emotions, especially our anger? And another way we are in a healthy ego is recognizing what is a healthy boundary. Learn what a healthy boundary is. You know, I was just playing this game where you put the headset on. I can't think of what it's called. You guys will probably know. And you define the border all electronically or all virtually, I guess. And wouldn't it be great if that's how easy it would be in our own lives to define healthy boundaries? But every situation is different. However, we know what a healthy boundary is by how we feel. We know if we feel good about what we just set up and not resentful, not taken advantage of, not overpowering somebody. That's a healthy boundary. Helping others when we truly can. Asking for help when we need it. Not doing things to please. Not talking about people behind their back. And if we're going to expect something in return when we're giving, then it's important to express that. Have that expectation. Ask for what you want in return. That's having a healthy boundary. And that's living with a healthy ego. Another way is to be able to give people compliments. Not because we expect one back, but just because it feels good to give someone that gift of, wow, your hair looks great today. Or, you know, I really like the way you just helped me. Thank you. Compliments from an authentic place really help us, but they also help other people. Also, when we compare ourselves to others. No, it is a natural human condition to compare ourselves to others, especially when people run a little more competitive energy or they feel disempowered and then they compare themselves to others. Understand why we are comparing ourselves to others. Understand why we feel jealous. Understand why we feel envy. Understand it. And then what do we want to do about it so we don't get stuck in that cycle of feeling that someone's better or now I need to be better? Because we're all pretty great. Look at where it's coming from. And then what do we want to do about it? You know, we all have flaws. We always will. And we're going to have to be okay with some of those flaws because we're not going to be perfect. I was talking to one of my clients recently and she tends to be messy. Her spouse criticizes, I don't know that she's messy. This is her word. She's not messy in her appearance, but her spouse criticizes her for her messiness. And she used to get angry at him for criticizing her. Why? Because she felt so defensive, because she felt that that was a weakness. And she didn't feel good about it. And she also didn't have the energy to change it. She wanted to be more organized. it comes to that place where we can choose if we're feeling less than about something. Is it something that we're ready to change? Can we just plug away at it? You know, being organized is really helpful to our physical body and our mental body and our soul body, as long as it's not taking over, being too organized. Being organized simplifies our life. And so she started to go down that path. She started to recognize, I would like to be a little more organized because I feel bad about this. She's also super creative, though. So sometimes when our mind is so creative and we're not in the balance, it can be a little too messy, right? Just like our mind can be a little too messy. So when she accepted, she didn't like being criticized for it. And then she started to work on it. She became less defensive about it. Then she just kind of took it lighthearted. She decided she's always going to be a little bit messy, but she's much more organized, and now she doesn't feel bad about it. Now she can accept the criticism, or if he disses her on it, or she can say, ah, this is my mess. It's my office. I'm good. So how does this tie into our soul connection and our destiny? No, when we're in ego, my ego is about me, my needs, my wants, my plan, my agenda. What is mine versus others? My time. When we're so focused on that, we can tend to keep others out too much. And our pride can be overly involved. So we make decisions from that place of pride and stubbornness. When I opened Well House, it was a lot for me. And my pride was getting in my way because I was recognizing there was a lot of things I couldn't do. And I had to let myself become more humble to let more help in. But at first it was my ego was driving the boat in a shadow way. And then we have to recognize our soul is so much bigger than how our individual lives are going. I had to go back to the reason I really opened Well House was for the community, for the growth of other practitioners, to bring more balance, to help people help themselves and receive help. So when we go back to that, it's not about me. Remember, the soul is so much bigger than how our individual lives are going. Our individual lives are part of our soul story, of course. Me taking my time and opening Well House and working it and keep working it or doing this podcast, it's part of my soul story. Now, remember in an earlier episode how we talked about when we feel empowered or not. And if we're empowering ourselves and others or allowing ourselves to be disempowered by others or we disempower others. And do we shut people out or do we let people in and collaborate? That's that connection between our ego self and our soul self. Do we let our soul in to guide us or do we become too human and too rigid and then becomes about me and mine and not about we? And I'm talking our soul and our body. And of course, the people in my collective, right? People in my tribe. Our soul is so much bigger than our physical body. And when we get caught up in our earth-based ego, we're not allowing the greatness of what we can't see. We're not allowing that greatness to come in and assist us. We're not allowing the magic of the universe. We're not allowing our beautiful, wild, incredible intuition to lead us. We become too strongly attached to a plan. And that plan can come like a weight. It can weigh us down, and sometimes it can even drown us. Then we can hurt ourselves and others in trying to hold on to that plan. Think of how many celebrities or leaders in self-made companies have ruined relationships because they've gotten narrow focused on fulfilling their plan. And it doesn't have to be someone that's in the limelight. It doesn't have to be a celebrity or a company owner. It can be your neighbor or yourself or your spouse, someone you know that's living a not so big life. So as we continue to become more awake, we can also begin to understand more about our ego and how we're in light or shadow of it and how we are attaching to outcome or allowing that flow. Having that attachment to outcome is part of our physical earth life. It is not wrong. We will always have that. We just have to ask ourselves, is it helpful? Is how I'm doing this helping me grow, not just in earth terms, you know, of finance and power and success, but in soul terms too? Or is it causing damage in our lives and the lives of it? Or is it causing damage in our lives and the lives of others? A easy example would be the mining industry, the diamond mines. A lot of the diamond mining is very dangerous and there are children involved. But it becomes about the riches, right? Because diamonds are so valuable. So can that be done in a different way to include safer practices? Because when we're focused on just the earth-based goods, like the financial part of it, that is to the detriment of others' health, right? It certainly can be. Is that what our soul wants in this earthly connection? Is that what our soul is asking for? Or are we too ego-based there? So we want to be checking in with our why and our intention. Whenever we have a plan or a goal, we do not need to have the attachment to outcome be wrong. However, we want to check in with our inner world frequently, daily, hourly, if you want, to make sure we're on the healthier path. Or has our shadow ego taken the lead? When you're having an argument with somebody, pause. Wait a minute. Am I in my shadow ego? Or am I allowing that flow? Am I allowing someone to also speak? Am I hearing them? That's the healthy ego. So instead of making it wrong, we understand and allow the outcome attachment and shadow ego. It's going to come and go. So we don't need to dig ourselves a grave and jump in it because we've made a mistake. Just like thoughts and meditation, they flow in and out. Our shadow ego is going to flow in and out. Our attachment to outcome is going to flow in and out. We can choose always if we want to stay in that place and let it consume us, or if we want to grow and evolve and make choices based on the greater good, make choices based on my soul evolution. We can choose to get back on the path of being present and connect to our higher self, connect to that higher self presence, which is always bringing us what might be better for us if we let go of that strong need to have it go our way and that intense attachment to outcome, that intense attachment to be right. So we've all been learning tools. We have the tools we need. There's a million resources out there. All of those things we've learned them. And the next step is to make sure we're taking the action steps. Not just thinking the action steps, not just thinking about evolving, but pausing, defining what those are. That will help us become more awake. Those will help us become more balanced, more in that beauty of living a soul and a body experience. Because it's one thing to have the tools. It's 2/3 more useful to use them. And then we can celebrate that when we do. No, go back to when you were parented or when you were a parent. Sometimes a parent to a child doesn't praise the child for work well done. However, we can be the parent to the child that celebrates all the child is and gifts them with allowing mistakes and guiding them through the mistakes, like outcome attachment in healthy and kind ways. And we can do that for ourselves because we are parenting ourselves now. We get to celebrate all we are, allow the mistakes, guide ourselves through that to a healthier version. And when we take this into fear, you know, we think about how much we worry and how much fear we run every day throughout our day. There's no fear unless we have that strong attachment in an unhealthy way to the outcome. If we stay as present in each moment as possible, we'll move from fear to strength. One experience at a time. I give so much credit to all those people that step out of their comfort zones and try new things, take healthy risks, go after their dreams, because it's not easy. When you're trying something new and you set the date on the calendar or book the event, or if you're at the open mic at Well House, it takes a lot of courage to get up, read the poem, sing the song, start your company. it's really scary. It can be really scary, especially if you're putting your ego on the line, right? You might be embarrassed. Or if you're opening a company and you're putting your financial reserves on the line. However, if we just focus one step at a time, what's my dream? Am I planning in a healthy way? Am I ready? Am I ready in a real way? Because we can say we're never ready, but that's not real. But if we just focus on opening the guitar case, picking up the instrument, grabbing the guitar pick, feeling our breath, not looking at the audience right away until we feel calm and centered, using those five senses, what does the guitar feel like in my hand? What does it look like? One moment at a time, one sense at a time. Remember why we are taking the risk. Because we want to. Because we enjoy playing or singing or reading our poem out loud. It's a want. It's not a have to. Then it's much easier to stay present, not get hooked into that attachment to outcome. Because otherwise, we can run the other way. And we can run the fear thoughts. What the heck am I doing? I can't do this. I'm going to mess up. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I don't have enough money for this. I don't remember how to play. I have no idea how to open this company. But then we get other people in, right? We ask for help, or we go back to the drawing board, but not totally, because we've already learned a lot along the way. When the mind starts to race, the calm goes. Our breathing gets rapid. We start forgetting what we are doing. We might go into anxiety. Then we might make so many more mistakes. Unless we get ourselves back into the body, let go of the outcome, and take some breaths and strum the guitar and smile. A smile automatically puts us in a more positive, hopeful state. Smile big at all you've come from. Smile big at all you've been through and all the ways you are here trying to wake up and connect to your destiny. Smile big at all you are to your beautiful self. We can choose to accept all these parts of ourselves and connect to our inner world in healthier ways. We can choose to decide what parts we are feeling great about and where we still want to grow and evolve. And we can do this with laughter, love of self, and the help of our, not only our divine self, beyond that, the big universe, and the help of others. Have a beautiful week and be good to yourself. Find ways to go in and get to know yourself in a loving, kind, authentic way. Thanks for joining me, and I look forward to connecting with you next week.